Father, we just thank you this morning that we can come together and just worship you. And Lord, just look into your word and see what you have to teach us. We thank you for your love. And we thank you that you have revealed to us things we had never otherwise known. So we give you praise and glory. I pray you'd anoint me. I just speak forth things of the Spirit. And each person would be open to receive of the Spirit. So we give all things to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Looking at 1 Timothy 6:21. This is a good memory verse. Grace be with you. As we close out the year of 2015, appropriately we'll close out the book of 1 Timothy. Okay, so we'll just wrap them up. Close up 2015 in the book of 1 Timothy. And we look at this, and we see this verse, how he closes up, and the Apostle Paul just ends this book, incredible book, again, one of the last books the Apostle Paul wrote, and he closes it with this statement, grace be with you. And it's kind of, you could kind of say it's like us saying, we'll see you later, you know, after a while, something like that. But what we know about Scripture is that Scripture is inspired. It's in this, the inspired Word of God. In fact, 2 Timothy 3:16 says this, all Scripture is God-breathed. All Scripture is God-breathed. So, when I look at a verse like that, where Paul closes out this letter, and he says, grace be with you, I don't consider that like a throwaway verse. I don't consider that like, see you later, or hope everything's okay, or what. I don't consider that. I look at that, and I believe that that's the inspired word of God, and that has the power of God behind it. And Paul says, grace be with you. Grace be with you. And it just brings to mind that as Paul spoke, and as he wrote these letters, that when he wrote that down, that there's the power of God, there's doctrine, and there's importance behind those words. Grace be with you. And to think that the term grace be with you in the Scripture is God-breathed. So it's like, well, maybe we just, as we end 1 Timothy, look here, what is the pertinence, you know, and what is the depth of what God is saying right here when he says, grace be with you. Now, I think as we look at this, we think about a divine lesson that God teaches us. And we know, and I firmly believe that the Bible is the inerrant Word of God. I believe that the Bible is God-breathed. I believe when you open up the Bible and you read it, it is like God breathing all over you. It's the very depths of what God wants to communicate to you. And so when I read the Scriptures, I look at each one of those things, and I'm thinking, okay, God, what are you trying to show me? What are you trying to show me in this? There's some depth of what you're trying to show me here. And so, and I believe that's what Scripture is. And so when you, and I encourage you, when you open up the Bible, that's how we should look at it. That's how we should look at it, that God is speaking just as directly as he spoke to Moses on the Mount. God is speaking directly to us. And we might say, well, I don't understand. I'm not sure what he's saying. Okay, that's fine. But we should know, he spoke. He spoke. And so we look at this. So we can look at all sorts of depths of doctrine. But in closing out here, grace be with you. Grace be with you. And think about, what is God telling us? Well, the first thing, like the title of the message, words matter. Words matter. When we speak something, it makes a difference what we say. Words have power, and words have an ability to change people, change things. They have a power behind them. Now, we know that as we just talk, interact with people, and, you know, there's some, you know, nasty people in the world, maybe not so nasty people in the world, some encouraging people, not so encouraging people. And so, you know, we know that the words swirling around there have an impact. And so we understand that generally. And, you know, people can be in counseling for years because of what somebody told them or said or what they heard. But I want to take this deeper, you know, than just that. Not that just words like positive thinking or negative thinking. It's more than just positive thinking and negative thinking. So let's look at this, what the Bible is saying about words matter and the impact of words. So here's a divine lesson for believers. Those who have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, we believe that God died on the cross for our sins. We are forgiven. The Holy Spirit indwells us. There's a dynamic that going on with believers that gives more power to the words we speak. Let's look here at 1 Corinthians 6:19. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says this, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own." Now that statement, you know, paints a picture for the church. That statement paints a picture for believers that is very different from anyone else in the world. And so when you look at it, that he looks at your body as a temple, and a lot of people would say that, yeah, it's a temple, you should take care of it. But what it's saying here, no, it's a temple of the Holy Spirit. God himself resides in the believer. And as we move and walk around, the Holy Spirit is within us. We are carrying the Holy Spirit within us. We're carrying Christ within us. So we know that our body is this temple in which God resides in. And two, we want to think about ourselves. Think about ourselves, okay? God is telling something about us. Now, he also goes different places and says we ought to be nice to one another. Like, one temple should be nice to the other temple. You know, my Holy Spirit in me should be nice to the Holy Spirit in you, and your Holy Spirit in you should be nice. And we should have a communication because of the Holy Spirit communicating to us and through us. But just to grab the point here, so we have the Holy Spirit in us, who we have from God. He gave us the Holy Spirit. So that process, that mindset, just to get in our head that, no, the Holy Spirit is within us. I mean, there's so many times I've thought about, like, oh, I just wish God was here. I just wish Christ was here. He could just answer this question. He could just help me out in this situation, okay? What the Scripture says, and what I fully don't realize, but what the Scripture says is that God is with me. The Holy Spirit is with me. He is present with me, and he is speaking to me. And it's like, and part of, if not all of, when we look at Scripture, God is trying to communicate to us what he's trying to tell us. We're carrying God around with us. We're carrying God around with us. And so that's the picture of the temple here. Now, the next sentence in that is also very powerful, which may communicate some of the problem. Okay? It says, you are not your own. Because I'll speak for myself, because I kind of think I am my own. You know, because I kind of do what I want to do. You know, like, come on, God, you'll really like this. Come on with me, you know. Jesus, come on with me. You'll enjoy this. You know, instead of kind of stepping back, say, God, what do you want me to do? What are you telling me to do? Give me some direction in this situation. Instead of submitting myself to God and hearing him like I am not my own, I belong to him, I start listening, then move along with him. It's probably a lot more powerful than me making up my mind and just trying to pull God along with me and give a blessing to what I do. Amen? Any of y'all ever do that? You don't have to raise your hand. I mean, am I the only one that does that? This guy. But anyway, so the picture you have here, but let's go back. Words matter. Words matter because you're the temple of the Holy Spirit, and God is within you. God is within you. Now, Christ in us, the Holy Spirit in us, gives us a powerful authority in what we say. Now, doesn't that just make sense? I'm just kind of like a mathematical, you know, equation here. I'm the temple of God. God dwells in me. God uses me for His purpose. God speaks through me. Therefore, there's a power and authority within me and in the words I say. Amen? Amen? There is an authority and power in the words I say, because I am God's temple and He speaks through me. And He has given that authority, and He has indwelt us, and He has shown us, you know, that relationship with Him, and He works through us. And again, this is what the Scripture is telling us. There's power in us, but there's power in what we say. What is the Bible? It's God breathed. It's His words. So Christ in us breathes out. There's a correlation there where God has empowered the church, has empowered the church with an authority and with what we say, with what we say. And God, and here's the other thing, this is, you know, maybe this is a tremendous blessing, but it also can be a little frightening, because that means God is going to pay attention to what we say. God is going to pay, because He's into the relationship, so He's going to pay attention to what they say. Let me give you an Old Testament example where they didn't have the permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit, but they surely had a lot to say. But we'll give you an Old Testament example of how God paid attention to what His people said. Okay, now this is a negative. All right, we'll get us positive. But look in the Old Testament. I'll drive home the point. It makes a difference what we say. And again, this is not positive thinking. This is not negative thinking. This is the power of words that have an impact. That have an impact. And so look at Numbers. I put the last verse up here in the overhead, Numbers 14:28. But I'm going to read 14:26 through 28. Words matter. Numbers 14:26 through 28. And the Lord spoke to Moses. Now, to give you a little prelude, they're complaining. The Israelites are complaining to God. Numbers 14:26. And the Lord spoke to Moses and to Aaron, saying, "How long shall this wicked congregation grumble against me? I have heard the grumblings of the people of Israel, which they grumbled against me. Say to them, 'As I live, declares the Lord, what you have said in my hearing, I will do to you.'" Now, just grab what the Lord said. Okay, I'm just going to bring out hell, fire, and damnation and crush you. That's not what He said. He said, "I'm going to do just what you said. I'm going to do just what you asked me to do. I'm going to do what you said. I heard you, and I'm going to do it." That's what it said in the Old Testament. Words have power. Now, what they said, if you go and read, it says, "Oh, we're here, and we're going to die in the wilderness." He said, "Okay. I'm going to do just what you're going to die. Your children won't die, but you will." And the children were the one that went in the promised land, not the adults. And so the comment here, what I want us to grab hold of is what God said, is what He said. And He could have said anything, and repeat this. "Say to them, 'As I live, declares the Lord, what you have said in my hearing, I will do to you.'" You speak out, the words are heard, "I'll do what you said. I'll do what you said." Now, so there's the principle. There's the principle. Holy Jesus, let's go into the Gospels and look in Matthew 17:20. And I want you to look at this verse, but I think also about on the positive side of this. The positive side that God says, what you say makes a difference. What you say makes a difference. Because of Christ in you, the Holy Spirit in you, and as a Christian on this world, there's authority and power with you. And again, I'm going to say it again. As a Christian in this world, there's authority and power with you. It really is. All through the scripture says that. Now here's in Matthew 17:20, Jesus is talking to his disciples. And in this statement, Jesus just kind of makes a blanket statement. He just makes a blanket statement that applies to all believers. And he says this to them, "For truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed." And just pause there. There's a lady in the church one time, she brought me a little thing and it had a mustard seed in it. I don't know if I'd ever seen a mustard seed. Read this a lot of time, but she gave it to me, a mustard seed. They're really small. I haven't. It really is a small seed. You'd think, how could that even grow? It's so small. So it's little. To have something less than a mustard seed, you have nothing. You have nothing. So if you have a mustard seed, you just have something. So you just got something. So what it's saying here, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, like if you have any faith whatsoever, you will say, underline, speak, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. Now I ask you something. I'm asking this of myself. And when I go through scripture, I ask myself this. When I look at this, and I think it's good for me to communicate how I process through this. Maybe it'll help with how you process through it. But when I look at something like that, I go, man, I'm not there, you know. But what I do believe, I say to myself, but I'm supposed to be here. I'm not there, and I don't see it. But that's, the Lord said, that's where it's supposed to be. And that's why I look at verses like this and say, oh, here is something just supernatural. It is. But for a Christian, it's the way it's supposed to be. It's the way you're supposed to operate. That's why God left us here, because it's the way it's supposed to be. And so he says that when you say to the mountain, it's going to move. If you have faith, it's going to move. And nothing is impossible for you. Now, look at the situations here on each side. If you have faith, if you have any faith whatsoever. Now, how many believers fall in that category? Any faith whatsoever. You know, it's like, I believe Christ died for my sin. Okay, you got a little faith. All right. Okay, I mean, man, you're in. Hallelujah. Okay, then the rest of it can be true. Also, if you have any faith, then nothing's impossible to you. See the realm God moves us into? See where he puts us? And then when what he says in this thing, if you will say to the mountain, you speak to the mountain, you say a word. Now this is where words matter. Words matter. You speak and say these words, and you can say that mountain, move here to there. You know, people, I've read a lot of things in commentaries. By the way, commentaries are wonderful. You read this, especially the commentators that don't believe it, you know, because it's like they don't want to hurt our faith, and so they try to put it in a situation where we can accept it, you know. And what they do is they dilute the faith, like, well, that means the mountain of your problem, you will speak to that. Okay, I agree with that, but Jesus is talking about dirt here. He's talking about dirt. You're not talking about the mountain of your problem. He's talking about dirt. You can move this pile of dirt over here. See? But you can speak to your mountain of your problem also. So if you take away him moving the dirt, you take away his ability to move the mountain of your problems. Because if you believe he can move the dirt, you also believe he can move the mountain of your problems. So our mindset changes, and so we don't want to dilute it. All right? And it's like, all right, God, this is what you're telling us. And that's what he, by the way, that's what he told his disciples. That's what he told his disciples there. Now, and he goes on to say, nothing is impossible for you. Look at the realm where God has placed us. Look at where he's called us. Look at what he's telling us to do. Now, I'll come back and touch on the faith issue a little bit. But for us to process and to understand what God's communicating here. Now, what I'd like to do is go back. Words matter. Consider words matter. Go back to Genesis. What I love about the Bible, too, is God is very consistent. He is really consistent. So even in this situation, you go back to Genesis chapter 1, verses 3 through 4, you see this. Now, we could read all through Genesis chapter 1, but we won't do that. I'm just going to read the 3 and 4 right here. Look what happens when God breathed. What happens when God breathed? That's Scripture, right? He spoke. It's Scripture. Also, when God breathed, when he said, God said, let there be light. And there was light. How did we get light? God said it. That's what he said. Then God saw, and the light was good. He saw that the light was good because he said, let there be light. Then he saw. He didn't see it and say it. He said it, and then he saw it. It was like a creative impact of his words. A creative force of his words, which he passes on to us and says, nothing is impossible to you. Just say it. Nothing is impossible to you. Now, bear with me as we go through this. By the way, go through the scriptures. What is the Bible saying about this? What does the Bible say? You know, this is hard for me to grasp, but I do believe that Jesus died on the cross, took all my sins, took all the world's sins. He is dead. Dead as he can be. And he came alive. And he went to heaven. And we're going to heaven. But I have a problem with speaking to the pile of dirt and moving it. Which is harder to believe. The dead man getting up and going into heaven after our sins, or moving a pile of dirt. Before God, it looks like moving a pile of dirt would be easier. You know, in fact, if they put me in Jesus' position, I said, God, why don't you just move a bunch of dirt for a bunch of people and I can skip this crucifixion deal. You know, we'll convince them this other way. The point of it is, what we say makes a difference. I just process this in our mind. Now, so that's how all creation, God said. Scriptures, God breathed. This is what I always think is fascinating about creation. I love the science between science, they call what they call science, and then what they call creation. Okay, and this is the very fundamental point where science breaks down. It says, if you have something physical, it had to come from something. I don't care what, it had to come from something. If you got a something, where'd it come from? What, just there? That's not scientific. It can't just be there. It has to come from something. See, so that's not science. So the point of that, what we say, and we believe that there was nothing. We believe there's absolutely nothing. But spirit, there was nothing physical. There was not any physical. There was zero physical. It was just spirit. Where'd spirit come from? Beats me. You know, but it was spirit. And it's eternal, eternally past, eternally future. So eternally past, how far is that? Think about it. That's far. It is far. Eternally. And so I don't know. But if I pick up a grain of anything, it had to come from something. Spirit is eternal. And what happened? The eternal spirit spoke and created the physical. So I ask you, what's greater? Physical or the spirit? You can answer that. Because the physical had to come from something. It doesn't just appear. And the Bible tells us the eternal spirit, which was eternal before all physical, there was nothing physical, and the eternal spirit spoke, and the physical came into being. That's what happened. The fundamental thing of science that says there's no creation breaks down because fundamentally science, peace had to come from something. Anyway, this comes out, words matter. And the point of it, God spoke and created the universe. He spoke. The spirit spoke and created the physical. And what we have in Genesis 1:1 is this. In the beginning was a hunk of dirt. In the beginning was a molecule. In the beginning was two doodads that came together. You know, because you had to have two to come together, right? But I don't know where individuals came to have the one. But in the beginning was God. In the beginning was Spirit. In the beginning was Spirit. And in the beginning, God, Spirit, created the physical. Heavens and earth. Created. Spirit is greater than the physical. From the very beginning to the presence. Now, when we look at that and you think, my goodness, why is that even important to process through? Or even we can ask ourselves this, why would Satan undermine to communicate that the physical was greater than the spiritual? Why would that be so important to Satan and his minions to prove and set up a system where the physical is greater than the spiritual? Why? Because he knows the issue. If we ever figure it out, if we ever figure this out, he understands the power behind every believer. Now, we have the Bible and God's telling us, and we're just trying to get some commentator to explain. He's not moving dirt. He's just taking our problem. I think it's a demonic theology. God is telling us something that is supernatural that he wants us to grasp. In the beginning, God created the physical. Now, let's just assume we believe that. God is Spirit, and he spoke and created the physical. There's no physical. The Spirit just spoke and created the physical. Jesus comes along, because Jesus was there, right? Amen? He saw this. In fact, even it says in different verses that it was through Jesus that all things were created. Now, Jesus tells his disciples this. Oh, by the way, just say to the mountain, move. It'll move. Why would he say that? He saw God create all physical. He spoke, it was nothing. He spoke and it created. He didn't speak, you can move it. I spoke and created it. All you got to do is speak and move it. And then he adds on to it, nothing's impossible to you. Words matter. Words matter. And think of it, if we could grasp what God's saying in the Bible. If we could just grasp what he's saying, what God's telling. By the way, if I was, or anyone else, just kind of came up with this theory and presented it to you, you would say, go ahead, say it. Nuts. I mean, maybe you'd try to be nicer. You know, and that's crazy. It makes any sense. But what I'm sharing here is what the Scripture said. This is what the Bible says. And when we look at the Scripture, now again, we come as Christians and we'll say, I believe Jesus paid the penalty for my sins. I believe that. I believe in the Word of God. Do you believe you can speak and move a mountain? No. Well, it says it in here also. See, the point of view, it's connected. It's connected. And say, God, what are you telling us? I mean, what are you speaking to us? Now, we figure this out. We figure this out and we understand how to appropriate this. I think God's very pleased because he's given us the Scriptures to help us understand. The Bible is a revelation for us, okay? It's a revelation so we can understand here. And when someone figures it out, God, Jesus, is excited. Do you believe that? If we figure out, Jesus is excited. In fact, I'm going to show you a verse where Jesus got excited about someone who figured it out. Who figured it out? Now, I didn't put the whole verse up here, but in Matthew 8:10. But I'm going to read this to you. Now, Jesus is really excited because somebody figured this out, that words matter, and all you got to do is speak the word and stuff happens. Stuff happens. Matthew 8:5. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion, Roman soldier, came forward to him, appealing to him, Lord, my servant, lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly. And he said to him, and Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. Which, I mean, that's pretty good. But the centurion replied, Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof. but only say the word, and my servant will be healed. That centurion knew who he is dealing with. He knew what could happen. He knew what would happen if he spoke. Only say the word, and my servant will be healed. For, and this is fascinating, for I too am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I say to one, go, and he goes. To another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he marveled. He marveled. We'll bring it into contemporary. Oh, man, I can't believe this happened. Wow, you got it, buddy. You got it. He marveled and said to those who followed him, which were his disciples, truly, I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. Nobody have I found faith. What did he do? Just say the word. I know who you are. Just say the word. Same thing. Now, so you look at this, the process again, and look at these points here on the screen. It says, look at what the centurion said. Drive it to the point about what he said. I mean, we could do a thing on healing, but that's not the point here. He said, I'll come and do it. That's not the point. The centurion said, only say the word, because the word has power. The word has power. My servant will be healed. And Jesus' response was, Jesus marveled. This guy's not even Jew. And he's just talking to the Jews then. Wasn't even a Jew. Jesus marveled. No one in it, none of the Jews. Hey, none of the Jews. You don't have it. None of the Jews have a faith like this guy does. Now, put this in the big picture of things. And by the way, we want to walk out here and take it in our personal life, don't we? What is the Lord telling us about our personal life? What is he telling us about our relationship with him? What is he telling us about how we operate as Christians? What do we really believe? And when we get pressed with impossible situations, what are we going to believe? What are we going to fall back on? What are we going to stand on? This is what he's telling us. Because in the other thing in Scripture, which he promises us persecution and suffering. I mean, he does. He promises it to us. It's going to happen. But listen, you're going to overcome this. He says, I've overcome the world. But he's telling us how. He wants us to know, understand how. We're going to make a difference. Now, put all this together and look at other verses. What God's telling his people. Look at what he's telling his church now. Let's just assume that we got this down. We totally understand this. You speak the word. Words are powerful. They have a creative impact. Words have a creative impact. They can impact the physical. Our words can impact the physical. Listen, I got to tell you this. You know, people, well, come on, Wallace. You know, you sound like one of these TV evangelists, and I don't know. You're going to be asking for money any minute. I can just tell. You know, it's just something's going to happen. What's going on here? But look at what Jesus did. Jesus spoke to trees. He spoke to water. He spoke to the storm. He spoke to mountains. What's he doing? It's just because he understood the whole thing. Nothing's impossible. But his point was to always glorify God. Always glorify God. The issues around him were never the issue. It was always to glorify God and how to glorify God. And so he's communicating these things to us. So look at this dynamic, a powerful dynamic that God's telling us about individuals. Now read this verse. Matthew 18:18. Truly, I say to you, again, a process, what we've just said, take everything into consideration. Truly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. You have just brought heaven to earth. You brought heaven to earth, All right? You're moving in the power of God here. Verse 19, again I say to you, if you didn't get it the first time, again I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Any two get together and agree. You know why it's important with two to get together? Do you think it's like, why did two have to get together and agree? Because all I believe is because there's a meeting of the mind. What's God doing here? What is he doing? This is what he's telling us. You think he's what? Yeah, I think that's what he's telling you. You believe what? Yeah, I think it. Let's agree, because I think that's what God's saying. And there's a power center. There's a power center built on two people discerning what God's saying. And then they're praying. And it'll be done. It will be done. All through the gospel, you ask, I'll do anything you say. Anything you say. And it's like, what in the world, Lord? What are you saying here? Anything you say, nothing is impossible to you. Going back to words matter. Bigger, our belief matters. Our belief matters. Now, here, let me put a little caveat in here. I am very, very thankful God hasn't answered some of my prayers. I am really thankful. I mean, I look back, they were really stupid. I mean, they were really, would have been dumb prayers. And then I look at some of the things I prayed for, and there would be no way that I had the capacity to be able to receive and operate with any sort of answer. I would have wasted the answer because I didn't have the capacity to receive. And I've used this example before. It's just like your five-year-old begging for the car keys to drive around the block, you know? And you go, nah, I can't do it now. You know, it's not that you couldn't do it, but you see, he didn't have the capacity to understand what he was asking. See, and that's a story in my life, you know, not having the capacity to understand what I'm asking. And God's just going, oh, gosh, just wait, you know. And now at this point in my life, I praise Jesus. I just praise Jesus. I thought, oh, this, what a Lord, that you were just growing me up and not giving me everything I ask. Just like your children. Maybe that's why he gave us children. So we'd have a clue, you know, what's going on, all right? So I am so thankful for that. But it doesn't take away from the fact that words matter, and we understand. We hope that five-year-old will grow up one day and have enough sense to have the car keys and drive responsibly, you know? But we'll probably send him to driver's ed, you know, and drive with him a while before we go and let him off and drive him or her off that first time. Any of y'all ever done that? 16 years old and they drive off that first time? Oh, that puts you on your knees. Oh, Lord Jesus. See? Well, God's said, there's certain things. When I talk about moving mountains, when you're talking about moving with the power of God, I mean, God using us supernatural, what he said, he's teaching us because he's not quite trusting us. We don't know how to handle it. We don't know how to handle it. And not because he can't do it. He's just trying to get us in a point where we can handle it. Doesn't mean he can't do it, doesn't want to do it, because he tells us. So this is a part like reading the Bible, studying, growing in the Word, understanding what God is doing. And then we have a perception of how God's moving, and then we cooperate with him, and he empowers us to do the things he wants us to do. Amen? Look, I didn't get any amen. I got an amen, but whatever. Amen? Hey, okay. You went to sleep or you didn't believe it. I don't know. Amen. Now, but here, look here at what the Apostle Paul did at the very end of his ministry, okay? And he is on a ship that is tossed about in the storms, and there everybody thinks it's going to sink, and it's all over with. And so Paul stands up, and he tries to encourage them. But in his words of encouragement, this is a great lesson to us in how to approach God in speaking to mountains and moving mountains. And again, I won't put in moving dirt. In moving dirt. Acts 27:25. Listen to what Paul says. So take heart, men, for I have faith in God. Amen? Okay, there we go. There's the issue. It's to the believer. He didn't say they had faith in God. He says, take heart. I have faith in God. What is faith? And here he gives the definition of faith, and this is huge. I have faith in God that it will be exactly as I have been told. Why did he have faith? Why was he so assured? Because God told him something. And he had confidence that God would do what he told him. That's the key. What is God telling you? What is he speaking to you? How much time you spend in the Word? How much time you spend in prayer? How much time are you going before the Lord? How much time do you even ask God? How can you move mountains when you're never even asking God? You never spend any time with God, and you never receive from God what to do. In the time with God, we hear from God, and then we move with power because we do what he said to do. That's faith. You know what presumption is? I think I'm just going to move dirt, and I'm going to show everybody I can move dirt because I'm holy. Okay, watch this. I'm going to move dirt. You know what that's called? Presumption. God doesn't bless presumption. He doesn't bless presumption. He blesses faith. Wallace, if you want, move the dirt. Because I told you to move the dirt. Just, all right, God. And then when he tells you to do something, you're thinking, oh, God, why did you tell me to do that? Why, God? Because why? It didn't make any sense. They're going to think I'm crazy. God. See? But you do it because he told you to. And you move, and then the dirt moves. And what do you do? Did you see me? You're going, oh, praise Jesus, it moved. Oh, Lord. Then you didn't know. I didn't do nothing. God moved that. God moved that. God moved that. See, all of a sudden there's a relationship established, and God said, now I can use him. I can move through him. Because he's going to do what I say, and I always get the glory back. Amen? You see, there's the point. There's the key. There's the key. You hear God and do what he says. You hear God, and God always gets the glory. That is the key to the supernatural. Nothing's impossible for you. And tying back into this, words matter. Words matter. Say to the mountain, I don't want to say it, you say it. I don't tell Linda to say it. I don't want to say it. You know, no, you got to say it. You have to say it. Now, you see, just process through that. As we live our Christian life, what do? We spend time with the Lord. I've shared this before, and I'm going to share it again. Because I do believe it is transformational. Transformational. Like, where do I start with something like this? Where do I start? And first of all, you have to start with the Word of God. You have to start there. There has to be the foundation. There's this foundation which we stand on. And I encourage everyone here to spend at least 5 minutes in the Word every day. 5 minutes. You want to spend 15? Spend 15. But commit to the Lord 5 minutes. 5 minutes. Because in that spending that 5 minutes before the Lord, it's spiritual. And you're going to have a spiritual multiplication. And you're going to hear God. And you're going to come into the presence of God. And God's going to speak to you. If Jesus just walked in and said, I got 5 minutes. Boom. And he leaves. You say, oh man, I'm taking notes. 5 minutes. What'd he say? Oh, I want to get another 5 minutes. That was quick. I couldn't get all that down. You know. But he does that. When you read the Word of God, it's God breathed. Any of it, it's God breathed. And we take that and it starts building on itself. 5 minutes. 5 minutes. Now, if you go 15, that's good, but commit to 5. Because you commit to 15, you won't do it. I promise you. Commit to 5, you'll do it. You'll do it. And that builds up, and it builds up over the years. And I will say, and I'm just making a statement, God be the glory. I have read the Bible over 50 times, cover to cover, 50 times, based on one commitment, 5 minutes. That's all I committed to. I never committed to read it once. I never did commit to read the Bible once. I mean, the only thing I ever committed to the Lord is read 5 minutes. I've read it over 50 times. Okay? That's what I'm saying. Just commit to 5. You don't have to. What if I told you, you'll get it, read the Bible 50 times? Let's just go get a hamburger. You know, who cares? It's just, you know, you got to be kidding me. Got to be kidding me. But that's not it. It's 5 minutes. And that 5 minutes is a relationship. You know, like, hey, I'll spend an hour with Linda, and then I'll have to talk to her all week. It's never worked. See? But when I say, I've talked to her all the time, pieces, you know, and so you have a relationship. You build a relationship. There's a relationship. Same thing with the Bible. 5 minutes every day, you build a relationship. You go to 15, that's great. You go to an hour. You read it all day. I don't know. But you just commit to 5 minutes. The point of it is you come in the presence of God, and then it starts transforming your thinking, and then the Lord starts speaking to you, and then you know, your words have power. By the way, I want to share this with you, back up a little bit. Your words have power if you don't read the Word. That means by being a Christian and just getting generally ticked off and saying all sorts of nasty things, have the power of Jesus on people around you. I really believe that. See that? So the nasty stuff. Because there's authority. What if Jesus said something nasty to you? You know, I didn't mean it. Wow. See, he has the capacity to say, we have the presence of God in us. There's a power and authority in us. So it's like, okay, God, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to speak? You know, and you know this, I mean, you don't have to raise your hand. Anybody ever met a nasty Christian? You know? Now, see, I got response. It's funny to get response. Say amen. Nobody says anybody. I say, you're a nasty Christian. Yeah, hallelujah. But why is that? Because the thing of it is, it's like it's Christ. You speak with the authority. And I'll even say this. Christians can be nastier than unsaved people. They can be nastier because they're speaking with authority. It's painful and has authority behind it. See, and so what we thought, oh my gosh. And so I want to read the Word. I spend 5 minutes. It's a transforming. And then we start thinking, I'll speak forth. This has the power of God behind it. This has the power of God behind it. Now think about our prayers. Now think about how we interact with other people. Now think about, because we're believing that God's doing something bigger than us. Bigger than us. Amen? Words matter. So here we are. If you look at this and you think, as we go into 2016, words matter. I mean, that's what 2016. Words matter. Words matter. Now, let's end it like we began it. Okay? Grace be with you. Grace be with you. Now, look at what Paul said. Divine, inspired word. Grace means, here's the definition of grace. Grace, this is the original meaning. Grace, the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life. Paul says, grace to you. Paul was saying, the divine influence of God be upon your heart and the miracle of God's powerful reflection in your life. Speaking power into their lives. That's what he was doing. Paul was speaking power into their lives. And in 2016, we are to speak power into other people's lives. We are to speak power into the situation. We are to speak power in the things around us. Because we have power. We have authority. So we speak it. In fact, if we speak negative, we speak negative with power. So let's speak life and not death. Speak life and not death. Amen? Hallelujah. So we'll end it with that and just think. 2016. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him not perish, but have eternal life. Power. Grace to you. God's power upon you. And if you want to get grace and just, when you read grace in the Bible, you can just make it more succinct. When you read grace in the Bible, anytime you see grace in the Bible, you think favor and power. It's not just favor. It's not just power. It means both of those. Favor and power. Favor and power. Hallelujah. Favor and power to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.